Welcome to the New Life Millbrook Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about this podcast or other resources, please visit nlmillbrook.com.
You will meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high place with lyres and timbrels and pipes and harps being played before them, and they will be prophesying. Verse 6 is important. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy to them, and you will be changed into a different person. Once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever is in your hands, whatever your hands find to do, for God is with you. Here's the thing I think is interesting in this passage, a couple of things, but even as I was reading, something just jumped out. It was as he was approaching the enemy's territory that he finds the Spirit of God and is filled with God's Spirit and begins to prophesy with the prophets. I think a lot of times we want to have all of our ducks in a row and everything done perfectly before we ever approach the enemy's camp. The reality is that according to God, he had already given him the land. So now being told, go to where the enemy's outpost is, and from there you will be filled with the Spirit of God, is opposite of what we currently think. But the most important part of this entire verse is in verse 6, and you will be changed into a different person. Romans 12:2. Tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Have you ever read the Bible and left reading a verse and realized that that verse is not where you are currently living in? Am I the only one? You were blessed when you came in and blessed when you go out. I was cussed when I came in and I was cussed when I came out. Has that ever happened to anybody else? By his stripes you're healed. I'm sick. I'm sorry, is this too... Okay. How about the wonderful one where the verse from Paul that says that when there's a husband and a wife combo and the wife is the one that's saved, she will sanctify the whole house. Amen. But the husband's still a drunk and beating you. The reality for many of us, and I am going to throw myself into this lump, is this, is that we know the Bible is truth, but it's not our reality. Am I the only one who's gone there before? For instance, do billionaires exist? Do they have private planes? Private islands, can do whatever they want to, whenever they want to, can decide one day it's too cold, I want to hop in a plane and go to Hawaii? Absolutely. Have you ever also thought what it would be like to be a billionaire, to be able to do that? Sure. Is it true? Yes. Is it your reality? No. See, this is the quagmire that we find ourselves in with the Bible, is that we know it's true, but in a lot of cases, it's not our reality. And we're living in this world of tension going, how come I know it's the case, but I'm not experiencing the breakthrough? I don't know about you, but for me, I'll read the word and I'll go, yes, that's it. That's what I'm looking for. And then out of nowhere, bad things begin to happen that remind me of my reality. Yes, I am called to prosper. Wow, that's an unexpected bill. Maybe I'm not. My faith is moving in the right direction, and I'm beginning to connect with God. And everything that's taken place in my life when it comes to healing and faith and miracles. And then out of nowhere, I've got the flu that I can't shake for 3 weeks when everyone else is shaking it in 2 weeks or 2 days, and they're not even praying. Sometimes it seems like the spirit of Tamiflu is powerful than the spirit of God. So what happens for the vast majority of us, I will say, and those watching online, is that we don't question whether or not the word is true. We question whether or not we are the problem. So then we start going, well, maybe God's word is true. Maybe I'm the problem. So now I'm going to begin to change what I'm doing so that I can now reap these benefits. So we begin to modify our days and our actions so that we can experience the things that we see in the Bible. It's kind of like every, you know, new year you go on a diet and you modify what you eat, and then about 3-4 days into it, you're like, you know what? This ain't very fun. Krispy Kreme lights on. I hear the voice. The voice of the one I love. All right. So we begin to look at our things and we try to modify them. So we call up our pastors, or we try to get a prophetic word. We call up a counselor. We meet up with an investor. We talk to our friends and our family. We go through, we clean our house. We change our clothes. We start saying the right things to try to do all of these things that are going to cause it to break. And then we experience the ultimate disappointment when it doesn't break. And I feel like maybe we missed something. In the story of Saul, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you and you will prophesy and you will be changed into a different person. It doesn't say, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and you will begin to do different things. There's a difference between changing a person and a person doing different things. One is called behavior modification, while the other one is called spiritual transformation. So let me see if we can walk through this. Modification is the shifting of the appearance of something, hoping that it will increase its productivity, while transformation is the structure, function, and character of something changing. Modification is like when it's cold outside, and now it's February, and you want to go get a tan. My body yesterday morning was equal to Casper the Friendly Ghost. I spent all day working a police detail, and now I am red. I modified my skin color. I didn't change who I was. See, the reality is that we can modify something in our physical bodies, but it's not transforming who we are. A modification is like going from getting a tan, changing your hair color, getting a haircut. A transformation is you growing wings and flying away. Modification is when you stop trying to do wrong and start trying to do right. Transformation is when you change what you believe and how you think, and the actions will follow. While modification always puts you in the driver's seat and it forces you to be the one to take your destiny in your own hands, transformation is when you are letting go of the driver's seat and you are the one on the potter's wheel. Let me put it this way. A modification is a bug now that has a rooftop. That is a modification. You get a car, you put a spoiler, you put rims, you put bigger tires on it. You change the bed, you put in a speaker system. Transformation is when your bug turns into something that can be completely different. While one may enhance the outward appearance, it's still only capable of driving. The other is capable of doing far, far more. The problem that we're running into is a lot of times we get stuck in this role right here. Modify, 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 modify. Frustration after frustration after frustration. And what's taking place is we're trying to change our behavior, but who we are is not actually changing into something great. See, I don't believe that God is calling us for behavior modification. Something about the human nature, especially those who are religious in nature, are so concerned about what their hands are doing and a lot less concerned about what the heart is thinking. As long as I look good, or as long as I do these acts, I should get X, Y, and Z. So this is what we think. Maybe we don't put it into words, so I'm going to get up in your Kool-Aid for a second. We think I need a breakthrough, so I need to raise my hands higher and sing a little louder. As if hand raising plus loud singing equals breakthrough. Can I tell you, God's not deaf and he saw your hands when they were this high. What we're looking for is a formula to get to something. See, religiousness in a positive sense is trying to connect who you are with the supernatural. Manipulation is trying to manipulate the supernatural to get what you want without you changing. And modifying what you do is the same concept of trying to trick God into giving you what you want without changing who you are. Okay. Transformation can never take hold fully unless we understand that what we have been doing is not working. So let's start off with the first step. The first step is admitting you got a problem. How about this? The first step is admitting you are a problem. I'm a problem. Ask my wife. The facts for me are this. The moment I think that my freedom comes from here, I lose the fact that the cross is my only source. There is not a single person in humanity's history that has saved themselves by doing the right things. But we get stuck in this trap that if I do all the right things, then I should earn freedom. Maybe we won't say that. Maybe you're not bold enough to say that, but I will. There have been moments in my life where I went, really, God? I'm praying more than I've ever prayed. I go to church more than I've ever gone to church. I'm serving more than I've ever served. I fasted more longer. I'm not watching bad things or listening to secular music. It's only way FM all the time. Because God knows that's the only word Jesus is. I am doing all these things, and bad things keep happening. Why? It's not fair. You're not doing your part. Maybe you're not bold enough to say that. I was. About 9 years ago, I looked at my life. I had been a tither. I was told that if I tithe, the devourer's rebuke for my sake. I went to church every time the doors were open. I served in church. I didn't go to college and go partying. I went to seminary. I didn't do all the crazy things that my friends did. I stayed reading the word. I went on mission trips instead on spring break instead of going to Panama City. I did all the check mark boxes. And then my wife finds out she's pregnant, and we're just happy because everything is awesome. And then we lose that child. Can I tell you, I was angry. I went through that process of, God, I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing. What's going on? And then I had this epiphany later on in life that I wasn't doing things as unto the Lord. I was doing things as if I was buying off the Godfather. And I didn't want to find a horse head in my bed. Like, that's kind of the philosophy that I was living with. I was doing all the spiritual things, but my heart was twofold. If I do all these right things, he's got my back, not because of love, but because I'm paying my dues. And number two, I'm exempt. Everyone else can go down because I don't know what's on their life, but I'm exempt, which caused me to have a haughtiness, a superiority complex, if you will, which ultimately took my legs out from under me. And I had to have a hard reality that, can I tell you, sometimes bad things happen to people who serve God. Transformation takes hold if we're willing to address the hurt of our past that is leading in our current mental actions. Nine times out of ten, and I'm giving that 10% open there, but everybody that I've ever spoken to, they don't deal with 35 sins. It's anywhere from 3 to 6. Residual issues over and over and over and over again. In fact, the word says to flee youthful lust. I love that verse because it doesn't say youth flee lust. It says, you flee youthful lust. In other words, what are the things that took place in your youth that are causing you to think wrongly today? Run away from those. Next, transformation does not come by reading the word. Now, before you throw stones, you will never, and you can write this down and say, Pete said it, and I'll get a lot of hate mail, so it'll be great. You will never be transformed by reading the Bible. If that caused transformation, all the religious leaders would have been amazing. You can only be transformed by washing of the word. Recreational reading the Bible will never change anything in your life. But a washing of the word is a totally different story. So you say, Pete, how do we go from behavior modification to transformation? That is the only step. Beautiful. My daughter is still little, so every once in a while it's my turn to do shower for my daughter. And, you know, one thing that's different is you can, if you want to, you can take her into the bathroom and spray her with body spray, and she will smell brand new. But a washing is getting a loofah, putting some soap on it, and scrubbing it in and getting all the junk off. See, the difference is reading the word is a standoffish approach. A washing of the word is it massaging into everything that you do. So in other words, when you read the word, do you go, I've got a chapter to read, and go. Done. Bam. Record time. Or do you read the word to go, what in my life is currently not fitting up with this, and how can I get this to change everything that I am? A transformational mindset is one that looks and says, my answer is in the word, and I'm not going to lift my head up until I can find what I'm looking for. Someone who is reading is typically reading to say that they did something off their checklist or to make themselves feel like they did a spiritual duty. Romans 12:2 says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Many times we read this, but we don't understand the backstory. The backstory is that Paul is not currently in Rome. He's writing to the Romans. The backstory is like this. Roughly AD 49, Claudius is now emperor of Rome. Without going into the nitty-gritty of how he got to be that spot, he is dealing with some serious insecurities. Every Roman emperor was, because there was somebody always trying to kill them. He hears a report that the Jews are planning a revolt, which they were not. So in AD 49, he exiles all the Jews from Rome. See, here's the problem, though, is that in the early church, the church was set up to model the synagogue. And at that time, the vast majority of the leadership and all the things that were taking place in the early church were ran by Jewish Christians. So now that all the Jews are leaving, they're kicked out for at least 6 years. So now what's taking place is the Gentiles are filling their spots. And for 6 years, the Roman church is growing, and it's growing with more Gentiles. And they are now the bishops, and now they're the elders, and now they're doing all the work because there are no more Jews. And then Claudius dies, and then the Jewish population decides to come back to Rome, and they come in expecting to pick up where they left off. Well, now they're met with some opposition because for their entire life, they've been treating the Gentiles as second-class citizens, and now these second-class citizens are now in charge. So now there's retribution. So now we're in Romans. We're reading about the cross. We're reading about the basic things of Christ. Why? Because Paul is trying to explain to two different people groups, you are the problem. The Jews would be like, we're going to go talk to Paul because he used to be a Pharisee and he knows the law. The Gentiles are going to go, well, we're going to go talk to Paul because he's a Roman citizen, so he's got our back. They both show up and Paul's like, you were both idiots. That's the Peter translation. He leads us through the process to say, it is not based on your birthright, nor is it based on what you can do. You are justified by faith. Faith is a common thing that all people can have, no matter where you're born or no matter what you do. Paul is letting people know that you are not special because you were born Jewish. And hey, Gentiles, if God would kick out the Jews, he'll do the same to you too. Well, now everyone's got their attention. And so now he's going into this process of two bickering people saying, now listen, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, you're both stupid until you get the right thinking above each other. So let me put it this way. Let me start with this. It is going to be hard for you to ever experience all the promises of God until you first renew your mind about who you are. In my life, I know, and I've not forgotten my issues. I don't know many people who have been saved for long periods of time that go, you know what? I don't think I ever sinned. Miss Elaine's been saved for 77 years. Now, she got saved when, what, you were 35, so that makes you 108. When Miss Elaine got saved, I'm just playing. You know I love you. Miss Elaine, did you ever make mistakes? Do you remember those mistakes? Yeah. Yeah, we all do. Can I tell you what I don't need to remind myself of? That I'm a worthless scum. Just lucky to get into the kingdom of God. I remember that I was a worthless scum. I don't need to remind myself on a regular basis. But one thing I do need to understand is this. I remember where I was on May of 2001. And I remember what I was doing. It's not an arbitrary date. I'm flashback. I don't need to wake up every morning and be like, you know what, Pete, you are awesome. I know where my flaws are. God, on the other hand, looks at me and says something else. And he looks at you and says something else. First off, his most precious inheritance are his people. So let me tell you this. You are anointed to rule yourself. You don't need me to babysit you. You don't need Pastor Allen to babysit you. You don't need the worship team to come to your house to get you into the presence. You are anointed to rule yourself and your own atmosphere. You are his precious inheritance. Read what Paul wrote. And you are anointed to rule yourself. But you can't rule something unless you see it the way he sees it. And he sees you as his son and as his daughter of God. He sees you as his precious inheritance. Not a piece of scum. Seeing yourself the way that God sees you does not negate your past. It only enhances your future. The Jewish population in this time is now dealing with an issue of how do they see Gentiles? The Gentiles are now going, how do I see a Jew? And now they're at a place where they're having to realize that our common ground is that we are both wrong and only he is right. But in your minds right now, when you leave today, when you go to eat, or maybe it's after service and you're in the car with your kids or whatever's going on, there will be something that will be triggered. And Pastor Allen's been talking about our minds. He's been talking about the things that are going on in our minds on a regular basis. And the reality is that you always have two opinions that you're going to have to believe. A washing of the word is going back through and saying, I know this is what I want to think, but this is actually telling me how to think. The transformational thinking of a mindset is not coming based on you doing a couple of good things. It's based on you transforming how you think and who you are so that the natural things will happen. Let me put it this way. A lot of times our computers get slowed up and they start to lag. So we go through and we find big files and we delete them, hoping that our computer gets a little faster. Sometimes it does. The difference is that is great for temporary free space because you're going to get back on your computer tomorrow and download more stuff. There's a difference between that and wiping the entire hard drive and starting from fresh. Jesus said that he came to seek and save all that was lost, including the issues that happened at the Garden of Eden. He came in that you could wipe your mental hard drive and begin to use a process, a new iOS, if you will, for who he says that you are. Transformational thinking is not deleting a couple of issues. It's wiping yourself clean and going, I'm following the cross and only everything that he says about me. Secondly, he says, transform your mind. Whose mind? You possess it. It's up to you. God does not come in like the Matrix and wipe your mind. I wish he would. I mean, seriously, if he showed up and he's like, red pill or blue pill? I'm like, dude, give it to me. Wipe it. Like, I'm willing. Like, it wouldn't be like a forcible thing. I'm like, please, just etch a sketch. That would be beautiful. But that's not how it works. Why? Because he anointed you to wipe your mind. If you are in possession of a mind, you choose which mind you believe. And you are anointed to do these things. Can I tell you something crazy? God's not writing any more Bible verses. He's done. So you're not waiting for a fourth Peter to come out so that you can be like, oh, if I read this, then everything changes. We search for things and we try to find lost books of the Bible because we're not satisfied with what he's given us, because what he's given us requires us to do the work. Colossians 3:10 tells us, for you have acquired a new creation life, which is continually being renewed. It is a process of processes, ladies and gentlemen. And here's what we have to go from. We have to go from recreational doing good things into finding ourselves constantly applying the word to every area of our lives. It doesn't happen overnight. That's why it says it's being renewed. It is a process that we have to choose. It is that concept of finding one battle, finding one outpost, and beginning to make that attack. King Saul didn't wipe out the Philistines in one fight, and neither will you wipe out your mind in one fight. So don't get discouraged when you get one victory, but there's still a lot of defeat going around. It's the snowball effect. You get one victory, then you get a second victory, then you get a third victory, and you're building this momentum for you to be everything that God has called you to be. And I've got good news for you. You can do this fight, and you can and should win every time because he's anointed you. Just as happened to Saul, he was anointed, he then prophesied, he was then changed. In your life, you are anointed, but now it's time for you to prophesy over your life so that you can change into what he is calling you to be. A prophetic word over your life is something that you are releasing from the inside, that God, you're getting the picture of what you're supposed to look like. You're in debt. Your marriages are falling apart. Your kids are going crazy. You're dealing with health issues. You're dealing with mental issues. You're dealing with relational issues. All of those issues are adequately described in the Bible of what you should look like. But here's the great thing. Once you begin to confess and release those things and begin to put yourself into the process of transforming your mind, you'll begin to see victories. You don't see the victories when you're just doing all of these things. You see the victory when you begin to see it the right way. And in my life and in your life, it's time that we stop being busy with busy work to make ourselves feel good. It's time that we begin to pull back and go, am I thinking or am I just modifying? In other words, do I think that my reward is going to be when I do all these things, or do I change who I am and I naturally go through that? You know, when it comes to diets and it comes to other issues like that in our lives, we have this thought process, if I just stop this one thing, then I'll lose weight. If I stop these two things, then I'll lose weight. Hypothetically, let's just say it's going to McDonald's. I love their French fries. I can't go. My wife makes fun of me because my mom does too, dramatically changed how I eat and what I eat. And they make fun of me like, hey, why don't you have like a cheat day? I know myself. If I have a cheat day, it turns into a cheat month. I fall off the wagon hard. And I mean hard. One French fry will do me in. And so I know what's going on. So I position myself The difference is I've done diets in the past, and I've tried to count carbs or count calories or do whatever it was. And I did things to try to change, if you will, my appearance. Well, this time, I began to look at my life a little differently, and I went, I don't want to die. I recently had a friend who was at the age of 36 in decent health, die of a heart attack. And I went, that's how old I am. I don't want to die. Can I tell you, I went from I could lose an inch to I want to live. My hands went from just don't eat this one thing to I need to ingest healthy things into my life so that I have a prolonged life. Modification is trying to do something to get a result. Transformation is when your belief system dramatically changes to a place where you don't have to think about doing something. It just naturally flows out from you. And every single one of you in some aspect have been transformed already. Let me give you some hope. It's not a hard process, but it may be a longer process than we want. There's no microwave transformation. I'm sorry. But I want you to think about things today in a different light. 5 years ago, for many of us, maybe even going to church seemed like a chore. Maybe it seemed like reading the Bible was a chore. I got to wake up and read the Word. Praying. I got to wake up and pray. And now you're beginning to do things without having to think about it. You have transformed that area. You used to think sleep was more important. Watching TV was more important. And now you're transforming everything because it's naturally flowing. Think about your faith. Your faith is transformed. Where in one time you were just happy-go-lucky just to make it into heaven. Man, that was a beautiful thing. Then you're transformed from, I'm just going to make it. I just made it into heaven. I'm lucky. I made it, man. Into, you know what? He chose me. Then we transform even more. He didn't just choose me. I chose him. Then we go to another level. I am continually being moved from grace to grace, from favor to favor, from faith to faith. Now we're going into a place now where I am seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Notice it's a transitional mindset from one thing to another thing to another thing. We have to find that in our lives of where are we supposed to be and what is my next step in transformation. I want to challenge every single person listening to me right now. I want you to pick one thing over the next 2 weeks, not everything, just one thing over the next 2 weeks that you can challenge mentally. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your relationship with your spouse or your kids. Maybe it's the how you think about who you are. One thing that you can dive into God's Word and challenge, that you can pull up on yourself and say, I every time this thought pops up that you're worthless. No, God says, I'm an inheritance. Oh, yours is stupid. No, I have the mind of Christ. Whatever it may be, the one thing, what is the one thing in the next 2 weeks that on a daily basis that you're going to change? It's that one step in the right direction to build momentum. Find that one Philistine outpost. Notice he didn't go into the capital of the Philistines. He hit an outpost. What's an easy target for you this in the next couple of weeks that you can win and you can win quickly in? Begin to change, wash over your mind with the Word of God. What does it say about that situation? And don't just read the Word. Read it. Chew on it. Meditate on it. Roll it over in your mouth going, God, what do you mean? What's going on? It doesn't take a Hebrew or Greek scholar. He does the work. He illuminates, but he wants you to participate. Father, we just thank you for your presence, for everything that's going on at New Life. We thank you for who you say that we are, everything that you've called us to be, everything that you've called us to do. I just think that you are anointing this group of people to be a success in all areas of life in your name. Amen. Amen. It's time for Family Day. The kids are in the hallways. All of our messages are on our website. You can text this word with this number, and you can download instantly all of our messages. All right? Catch up with what Pastor's saying. We'll see you down in the gym.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Have a great week.